As we take a look at Mark chapter 4, it's very important that we understand some very, very fundamental things. I'm sure you've heard many, many messages about Mark chapter 4 and the sower soweth the word and so on and so forth. But a lot of things have been misunderstood, and it is extremely important that you understand this, because in verse 13, Jesus says, when his disciples asked him to explain the parable to them, he said, "Don't you understand this? How then are you going to understand any of the parables? Don't you understand this? How then are you going to understand any of the parables?" You see how critical that is? This is extremely important that you understand this, so we're going to go into Mark chapter 4 in depth. Let's go ahead and pray before we begin. Lord, we ask for understanding. We ask for spiritual understanding, revelation knowledge in the things that we are about to look into, that I am about to speak. Father, thank you for the teaching anointing you have placed on my life, and may it be passed on to others, this information, because you want your children, the Christians that are born again believers, to grow in your word and to mature in spiritual things. So, if I haven't said this already, I'm Pastor Owen, and welcome to our Bible study on Mark chapter 4. And let's take a look at this passage, because it is so critically important. And I'm going to read the first, 12 verses or so, because it is important we get a complete comprehension of what I'm about to say. And I would strongly suggest that you get a Bible and read along with me. I'm reading from the King James, but especially the NIV, the Amplified, the New King James, the American Standard. They're very, very similar other than for a few word changes. So you can follow along. Now, the word parable, and this is called the parable of the sower, and the whole, almost the entire chapter is explaining the same thing. And that's where the confusion lies, because it's been broken up into the parable of this, the parable of that, the parable of this. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Man put that in, and it's their lack of understanding that has created some of the confusion. Now, a parable, which Jesus taught in, means to compare, to set something alongside of something else and make a comparison. This is important. Jesus is comparing the kingdom of God to certain things. So let's begin our reading in Mark chapter 4, verse 1. "And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold." This means, hearken and behold means pay attention to this. "There went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell on the wayside." Now we're talking about the seed. "Some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, but because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, couldn't get any water, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit." "And others fell on good ground, and it did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, go down to verse 10 and listen to this. And when he, meaning Jesus, was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him, asked Jesus the parable. Now listen to this verse here. Okay, this is verse 10. And he said, and when they were alone with Jesus, they asked Jesus about the parable. Jesus' answer comes in verse 11 when he says, know you not this? The King James says, know ye not this? And how then will you know all parables? Don't you understand this? How then are you going to understand any of the parables? What a statement. You would think that most Christians would know this backwards and forwards, because Jesus himself, in his own words, is saying, if you don't understand this, how are you going to understand any of the parables? When I read this for the first time, I just sat there with my Bible in my lap and my mouth open, saying, my gosh, he's going to explain to me the kingdom of God. Now, if you don't know and understand this parable, the question I have for you then is, how then will you be able to know and to understand any of the parables? It's exactly the same question that Jesus asked. How then are you going to be able to understand any of the parables? Can Jesus make it any clearer than that? I don't think so. He's already said he will teach them about the kingdom of God in parables. Know this, understand this, or know every little thing about how the kingdom of God operates if you will understand this parable. Now, I want to bring something out, and what we're going to do is something just a little bit different than what a lot of people are used to, but I find that in my teaching, it makes a tremendous difference, because we get locked into things, and even though you're hearing words, you've got your own opinions already established, and that's what you really hear. Now, I want you to follow me. First of all, when Jesus was alone with his disciples, he begins to explain the parable. Okay, he says, know ye not this? How then will you know any of the parables? Now, I want you to go all the way down to verse 33 and look at this verse. Verse 33, it says, now following with me here from verse 10, we're going to go all the way down to verse 33. And it says, with many such parables spake he the word unto them. With many such parables spake he the word unto them. Okay, now my whole point in saying this is he started out with, this is how you're going to understand the kingdom of God. If you don't understand this parable, how are you going to understand any of the parables? And then down in verse 33, it says, with many such parables spake he the word unto them. What I'm trying to point out here is all the way from verse 10 or verse 11 down to verse 33, it's all about the same thing. He's talking about the parable of the sower. It isn't the parable of the candlestick, the parable of the farmer, the parable of the mustard seed. He's talking about and explaining the same exact thing. And that's what's important for you to understand. Now, in verse 30, it says, and he said, whereunto? Now, we're going up to verse 30 because he's talking about the same thing. And what we're going to do is go backwards. We're going to go backwards through this verse because you've never heard it backwards. And that way it's going to seem fresh and it's going to be new. Now, in verse 30, he says, and he said, now we're still talking about Jesus, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? So he's still talking about the kingdom of God, and he says, whereunto can I liken the kingdom of God? What can I compare it to? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? He says, it is like a grain of mustard seed. Okay, it is like a grain of mustard seed. Now let me explain this mustard seed. At that point in time, the mustard seed was the smallest seed that people knew about, because a mustard seed is about the size of a pencil dot. About the size of a pencil dot. So the kingdom of God is like the mustard seed. That's what was being explaining, is it was small, which, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. So he's saying this is small, but when it is sown, it groweth up and becomes greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Okay? So, in other words, the kingdom of God is like a very tiny seed. But when you plant it, where do you plant the seed? In the human heart. And when it groweth up, and when it matures, the word of God matures in you, it is greater than all the other things that are around. Now, I said a mustard seed was about the size of a pencil dot. But did you know that a mustard tree, it's really like a bush, but can get 40 feet high, can get 40 feet high, and it becomes greater than all the herbs, and it shoots out great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Now, what exactly does that mean? The tree becomes a provider. The word of God planted in the human heart, if it is allowed to grow and mature within the person, becomes a provider for others. It becomes a provider for others. That's important. So in other words, we've established the mustard seed. It's not the parable about the mustard seed. In verse 30, if you look again, it says, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? He's comparing it to a small seed, but when that seed is planted, it grows up into great things. Now I'd like you to take a look at verse 26. We're going to read verse 26 through 29. Verse 26 through 29, and let's see what it has to say. And he, meaning Jesus again, so is the kingdom of God. Now he's still talking about the kingdom of God. As if a man should cast seed into the ground. As if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day. And the seed should spring up and grow, he knoweth not how. You don't have to know how faith and how the word of God works in you. All you need to know is if it's planted, the seed is planted, it will grow and mature all by itself. In verse 28 it says, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. Now, I spent a lot of time as a youth on a farm, and we planted corn and many other crops. It was a dairy farm. But, you know, we never went out, and after we had planted corn seeds, we never went out and started digging up the corn to see if it was going to grow. We knew it was going to grow. Because a seed, when it is planted, we would sleep, we would day after day, just like the verse says, it and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. We don't know how it works. We just know that when it's planted, it will grow, and it will bring forth fruit. It will bring forth fruit. Then we had big shoots, and then we had corn stalks, and pretty soon we had ears of corn, and this was field corn. which was not sweet corn, but it was for the animals, and we made silage from it and so on. But it still produced. First, there was a blade, and then there was an ear, and after that, the full corn in the ear. Okay, so now we've compared the kingdom of God to a small seed, and we've compared how a small seed will grow. You don't have to know how it grows. You just have to know it does grow and have faith in it. You know, we never sat down when we planted corn crops or wheat or anything else. We never said, oh, we just sure hope this grows. We used to have a garden. We would plant melons, watermelon and cantaloupe and all sorts of carrots and peas and all. Not once did we ever sit around saying, oh, I sure hope this grows. I don't know how, but I sure hope it grows. You see what I'm saying? I'm being a little ridiculous here. But I want you to grasp what's being said here. It grows up by itself. And again, we're talking about how the kingdom of God operates. But it says, but when the fruit is brought forth, when it's mature, immediately we would harvest it. It says, but when the fruit is, and I'm talking about verse 29, but when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. That's pretty simple. You plant a seed. You don't know how it's going to grow. You just know it's going to grow, and then it is time for harvest. It is a benefit to us. It fed our cattle, and so you know, so many other things. But the point is, this is how Jesus is comparing the kingdom of God. Now, I've said before in some of my books and some of my teaching that, you know, God is a spirit. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. The words that Jesus speaks is spirit, and we are spirit because we are made in the likeness and image of God. So what Jesus is talking about here is the kingdom of God, which is of a spiritual nature. And the natural world patterns itself after the spiritual. The natural world patterns itself after the spiritual, not the other way around. God, again, was a spirit, and when he created man in his image, spirit. It's a spiritual, the laws and precepts of God are of a spiritual nature, not natural, but the natural patterns itself after the spiritual, not the other way around, and this is very important for you to get in your thinking. Well, we're just about out of time for our teaching today, but we'll get back to the parable of the sower in our next teaching. So until then, I want you to continue to grow in God's Word, and in all you're getting, get understanding.